Just a moment ago, you may have been with us when we were talking to Jeffrey Canada about what works, in his case, what works to break the cycle of poverty. We believe that NPR listeners to this program, have innovative ideas about what works, know about solutions with proven records of success. We'd like you to tell us about them. Go to our website at npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation, and there you'll find information about how to get in touch with us. Again, proven success stories on everything from how to fill potholes more efficiently to homelessness, a subject, as it happens, we'll be talking about later this week as we continue our series on what works. Earlier this month at Burr Oak Cemetery, just south of Chicago, officials uncovered what appears to be a grisly conspiracy. Investigators discovered human remains piled at the far end of the burial ground and some 300 desecrated graves. Thousands of people are angry, confused, and are desperately demanding answers about their siblings, spouses, grandparents, parents, children. Dawn Turner Trice, who writes the Exploring Race column for the Chicago Tribune, has generations of her family buried at Burr Oak. Her family's been unable to find out if the graves of her deceased loved ones are intact. They may not know answers for months, and given the state of the records at the cemetery, they may never know. If you have a loved one buried at Burr Oak, or if you've suffered the desecration of hallowed ground, tell us your story. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And there's a conversation at our website. Again, that's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Dawn Turner Trice joins us from Chicago Public Radio. Nice to have you with us again.
Thank you, Neil.
And how did you find out about this?
Well, it's interesting. We were just listening to the news, frankly, and I was a little hesitant about calling my mom because we were growing up, my mother would tell these really extravagant stories about her grandmother, my great-grandmother, and our family would have these big get-togethers. And after dinner, the women would gather at the dining room table and the men would scatter around the house. And my sister and I would sneak under the table to listen, and we'd eavesdrop. And my mother created this woman in Leslie Jennings, who was just larger than life. And so we were just kind of captivated by her. And she always said that the hardest drive she ever had to make was the drive to Burr Oak Cemetery to bury her. My great-grandmother died in 1965, about 8 months after I was born. And at the time, my mother never knew that about 28 years later, she would have to make that drive again to Burr Oak Cemetery to bury her own daughter, my younger sister, the little girl who would sit under the table with me.
Mm. And so generations of your family are at Burr Oak. And
absolutely.
What is it like? You also wrote in your column that yours is not the kind of family to go out very often to visit those grave sites. Nevertheless, it's a place you think is, well,
sacred.
Yeah, hallowed.
Yes. Yeah, hallowed. Absolutely. I mean, no, we do not. Our philosophy, my father, my mother always kind of taught us that once a loved one passed on, that person lived in the heart and the mind and even in the stories of the people who remained. And so we don't go out to the cemetery often to visit. But we understand that a lot of people do. And for those people, it's such a tragedy. And it really kind of hits you in the gut. And whether you had people there at that cemetery or not, the whole city, and I think, and I heard from people from around the country, people really, I mean, this is a story that resonates because it is about memory and love. And I heard so many people say that they felt like they were in mourning a second time because of such a heinous act.
Violated almost in a way.
Yes.
Just to recap the story, as I understand it, four people at the cemetery have been alleged to have run a conspiracy to sell the same plot of ground over and over and over again.
Absolutely. And this was revisited yesterday. Congressman Bobby Rush held a hearing to listen to dozens of families with loved ones buried in Burr Oak Cemetery. And they were telling their stories of the crimes of digging up bodies and reselling plots and the whole tragedy. And they're trying to decide, the officials are trying to decide, whether the federal government should get involved in expanding a role to regulate cemeteries and to adopt a minimum set of standards that would be nationwide regarding record keeping, burials, consumer protection. I mean, just something could, whether something could be put in place so that this, I don't know if you can ever say that it never happens again, but, right. but so that there is a closer way to monitor these places.
It is also symbolically important because this particular cemetery, Burr Oak, as you also wrote about, we don't think of cemeteries as part of the civil rights movement, but indeed, right. in a way, it was.
Absolutely. I mean, for the longest time, Burr Oak was the was one of only two places in the Chicago area where African Americans could be interred. And that sounds, you know, in 2009, you say that. And
sounds ridiculous.
It does sound ridiculous. But, I mean, that's one of the reasons why, even though the cemetery had fallen on hard times and it wasn't always the best kept place, I mean, people had complained about the grounds not being well tended, some flooding in areas. But people continued to bury their relatives there because there was the history, and they had so many other family members there, and they thought that that was important.
And there is, these places are, they're not just cemeteries. They're not just hallowed ground where people come to visit their loved ones. They are recordings, in a way, of
yes.
our generations. And there are some people there who will, America will never forget.
Absolutely. And when people, as the story broke, there were people who rushed to the cemetery, and they brought along their Bibles because that is where they kept the records of the family members, who had been buried when, what year, what plot, where everybody, you know, sometimes, so the Bible was the guide and the official record-keeping place of all of this information, so they knew, so that even though the cemetery officials themselves did not, apparently the records have been have not been kept well, but people there who had family member who had family relatives there, I mean, they did keep the records and they had a good idea of where their family their loved ones were.
And again, if you have somebody buried in Burr Oak Cemetery, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or if you've had similar kinds of desecrations in your family history, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And Pete joins us on the line from Coconut Grove in Florida.
Yeah. Hi. We had a very similar issue down here in South Florida with a Jewish cemetery where people were buried in the wrong graves and interred and had and were reburied. And I am a member of a mixed family, not personally Jewish, but my wife was raised Jewish, and this is a very, very serious issue. I mean, if they could just bury me at sea, I'd be happy. But these, you know, I mean, prior to the Civil War, most people in the United States were buried on the family farm.
Indeed. And obviously in many religious traditions, this is incredibly important. And if you think about human history and how much we've discovered about our own development, our own cultural development from disinterring the graves of people 10,000, 15,000 years ago.
This is a horrendous thing to do to people, you know? I mean, I buried my father's ashes in Indian River in Maryland, but I can still go there and say, this is, you know, where I deposited his ashes, and, you know, and honor him in that way.
Pete, what was the upshot of what happened there in Florida?
This was up, I believe it was in Southern Broward County, and
were people indicted? Charges brought?
There had been a company that you know, the original owners of the cemetery had sold it to some other company.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they had bones, like, you know, thrown out in the woods nearby.
Ugh.
Right. And resold graves.
Well,
you
Pete,
know? I mean, that's just really a horrendous thing to do.
It is. Yes. Yeah, Pete, thanks very much for the call, and I hope that all gets settled.
Okay.
You know, there was the panel that I mentioned yesterday, or the hearing that I mentioned that occurred here yesterday. There was a similar one that occurred in 2002, and it was to investigate crimes at that Florida cemetery as well as the crematory mm-hmm. in Georgia. And the two bills that would have set federal guidelines and expanded the role of the Federal Trade Commission failed to garner enough support from lawmakers. So the feeling is that this time, maybe something, if something can be done, it will be done.
We're talking with Dawn Turner Trice, a columnist for the Chicago Tribune, with us from Chicago Public Radio, talking about the scandal at Burr Oak Cemetery, where it's been alleged employees ran a racket, selling and reselling lots to different families at different times and lost all the records. And at this point, nobody knows really who's buried where. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Dawn, at this point, is there any idea of how soon this is all going to get sorted out?
No, there isn't. There is an FBI investigation underway that will address the criminal aspect of this. But the governor also has assembled a commission that will look at what reforms can be made so that this, as I said, this never happens again. And the task force will make recommendations to the Illinois legislature, and then the legislature will take it from that. But what's complicating this is that the law isn't clear. I mean, there are semi-permanent leases on some property. In some places, it's legal to lease a plot for, say, 30 years or 60 years. Europeans do it, and some states do it. But the thing is that people knew about it. You know, I mean, they mm-hmm. know that there's a lease on a property. But in this case, we there's so much up in the air. I mean, there is also, it's possible to have what's called double-decker graves, where you can bury the remains of one person on top of another. But again, we're trying to tease out state law here and to figure out clearly it's only legal if someone knows that this is going on.
If there's transparency,
but,
yeah.
Right. But there's so much that's up in the air. So we don't know when all of this, if it will ever be, settled.
Jamal joins us from Newport News in Virginia.
Yes, I actually wanted to say, like, it's sad. I'm 25 years old, and the last couple of times that I worked at Burr Oak Cemetery was probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And to find out that my great aunt, my great grandmother, my great great grandmother's graves cannot be found is really disheartening. And being in the military and serving overseas and missing some funerals and stuff of that nature, it just opens those wounds back up, not only for me, but my whole family, because it covers the whole aspect of all of my family, immediate and extended. Really sad.
And do you plan to go back?
Actually, my mom and myself, we have plans to get together because my family's in Alabama and I'm in Virginia. We have plans to actually get together and go up there, but we don't want to go up there while the crime scene is still being investigated and stuff. I'm following the story on CNN and on every news channel that I can, and it really is disheartening, like, to the point that I cry sometimes because why would someone do something like this?
It does make you reconsider human nature, doesn't it, sometimes?
It really does. I would rather be, cremated and know that I'm in my family's home rather than being in a cemetery that is very sacred for someone to just try and make money off of. What is this world coming to?
And yes, and that's the other heinous part of this is just that, there seems to be at times just no bounds to the cruelty or just, some of the things that people will do to kind of make a buck. And that's that really kind of shakes your faith a little bit. So,
Jamal, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's go next to Gregory. Gregory calling from Chicago.
Good afternoon, sir. Neil, I have my grandmother buried there, my mother's side, and my Uncle Roy, who is my mother's older brother, went there the next day or so, but it was a crime scene as it is now, and so we're not allowed onto the grounds to see if my grandmother's grave is intact. She was cremated, so it would be easy for them to you know, just disperse her ashes. And as I should have immediately raced over the hour the news broke, and I might have had a chance to see if indeed it was intact. But I just want to say that with our sort of, you know, Native American and African American and European American roots, we try to be spiritual about these things. And even with that sort of, you know, non-clinging approach to things in life, it is emotionally, it stirs up a depressing emotion inside to know that your loved one's grave could be desecrated like this. But on a public policy front, I think we should all be grown up to realize that perhaps we have precious land resources and people want to be have their loved ones buried in particular grave sites of families that have been buried there before, and there's limited land, and maybe they felt a pressure to just receive these other additional loved ones, and they had to shift bodies around, and they would make money at the same time. Mm. And so I think the historian that was on National Public Radio, mm-hmm. Who talked about the history of the American cemetery, stating that the Greeks only used plots for 35 years, is maybe something, I don't know, what the Congress will look into. But thank you very much.
Okay, Gregory, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
I guess those are all issues that we have to consider. Nevertheless, the idea that bodies would just be stacked and body parts and remains dumped in one end of a burial ground with the disrespect that that suggests. Well,
and Neil, there was a section of Burra called Babyland where babies were interred, and that area was desecrated as well. And so this story just started to snowball and just, you know, one after the other. The discoveries are so grim.
Well, I hope your relatives are identified and that everything's okay.
Thank you so much.
Dawn Turner Trice writes the Exploring Race column for the Chicago Tribune, joined us today from Chicago Public Radio. Tomorrow, join us, political junkie Ken Rudin will be here. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.